Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Scott Eckersley, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Scott, we never get too far away from college basketball here in mid-Michigan, and I guess that is a credit to Tom Izzo and the Michigan State program. Want to welcome in a guy who does what he does as well as anyone in the country, and that is Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News. Hello, Mike. How are you?
I'm well, Jack. How are you?
Well, just fine, and you were the source yesterday for some surprising news. I was not aware of what was happening with Kevin Coble. All I knew was I'd written a Big Ten preview for the Sporting News about a month ago, and he was an important part of what could have been the Wildcats' first NCAA tournament team. Maybe it still will be, but it won't have Kevin Coble.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people are jumping off the ship now, and I still think that they have the ability to do well. I wouldn't say that this ruins their chances to perhaps be a tournament team. I do know and had talked to people during the course of last season who, long before this developed, suggested that there were going to be concerns about how Kevin fit back into the team now that John Scherna in particular had established himself as a star, doing a lot of the things that Glenn used to do. Excuse me, that Kevin used to do, that he would really struggle to find his place back in this operation now that that it had moved on without him.
And I would think he'd get a lot more open shots.
Well, you know, but different kids are different people, and you know, my understanding, based on talking to different people who know the program well, is that he was always kind of apart from these guys, and it's apparent to anyone who read the press release that went out yesterday that he was not connecting with his coaching staff, with all or some members of his coaching staff, because he thanked everyone at Northwestern, almost up to and including the people who swept the floors, but conspicuously left any mention of the coaches out of that. And so I would say that there was not a meeting of the minds at Northwestern over his future. Exactly why that is, you had some reluctance on the part of Bill Carmody to really go into that, and Kevin was not cooperative at all with meeting with the media, so it's sort of left to your imagination. But in the end, you know, I think any team is better with people who want to play for it.
And
that's the part that sometimes is missed when people get all up in arms about a particular athlete not being with the club. Sometimes it's better if you don't have him, no matter what his talents might be.
Well, when you start thanking people in dormitory food service and you don't talk about your coach, I guess that omission speaks volumes.
It did to me. It came right through. I mean, that was a part of this, and it's a shame, because I think that Bill's done a nice job in recent years of building that program up and making them respectable at Northwestern. It took a while, but he's got a good group of young players there. They still, I think, have a significant future, and I thought that Coble's talent was such that it could make a difference, but it can't make a difference if you're not really with it. If you're not really with the program, it's better for Northwestern if he's no longer there.
I guess when you have been through as much losing as Kevin Coble has, that's another quandary. I think if I planted a garden and hoed it, I'd want to eat the tomatoes.
Well, you know, I would say that under ordinary circumstances, when you've been on bad team after bad team after bad team, you might pretty much, you know, and now your foot hurts a little bit or more, you might say, oh, that's it, I've had enough. But this was a team that won 20 games last year, and we're not pretending that this is 82 Carolina or anything, but they won 20 games. They certainly weren't the Northwestern that was in the habit of losing 20 annually.
Right.
They were much better. So I don't think we can put defeat fatigue into the equation on why he would leave.
Do you think that means that he has lost interest in playing basketball or just Northwestern basketball? And what would it say to pro scouts if a guy kind of bails on his team before his fifth year?
Well, ordinarily, you know, it would not say good things. If he were 7 feet or close to it, they wouldn't pay any attention to it, as we saw with Joel Prisbilla 8 or 10 years ago, however long ago that was.
Right.
He walked on his team, And it certainly hurt him in the draft, but once he proved he was capable of doing his job, they forgot about it and paid him. So in the case of that, you can live with it. But in the case of a 6'8 wing who probably isn't athletic enough to be a no-doubt NBA prospect, I think it's going to hurt him. If he doesn't want to play anymore, it wouldn't surprise me. If he wanted to move over and play in Europe or something like that, maybe pick up a team in the spring, that wouldn't surprise me either. And they over there wouldn't have any compunction at all because, I mean, a year ago we've seen two players in the last 5 or 6 years that European teams have almost more or less said, hey, please, why don't you come over?
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that that they would not be at all bothered in Europe if Coble wanted to try to pick up a job after he graduates from Northwestern in December.
Our guest, Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News, and he is on top of college basketball and high school basketball, guys who are going to be college basketball players in a way that, unlike anyone else I know, and had a very, very busy summer. How much high school basketball all-star games and camps have you seen?
Well, I went on the circuit at the beginning of the month, and essentially I've been following the coach's schedule with the exception of I'm now off the road, and they continue on for, I think, three or four more days.
You're slacking.
I know. And I also took off the first weekend of the period of the initial period. I took Saturday and Sunday off while they continued on. So I think they get a total of, I think, from the 6th to the 31st minus a break in between. It's like 14 or 15 days, maybe 16, and I'll have been out for all of, but about 12 12 of those 16 days or something like that.
Mike, I had a chance, as I mentioned, to do the Big Ten preview for the Sporting News annual, and I think I picked the team that you had second in the Big Ten to win the national championship. Of course, the one that's going to appear in the magazine is your listing, and that's very good news for people in mid-Michigan.
Yeah, I overruled you. Sorry. I had already decided in I think it was May.
Yeah.
My initial selection, which was done under great duress, was to select Duke, and that was done early, and a lot of people were surprised when I went from that and then changed it to Michigan State in May when after we had the final list of players who evacuated the draft, and you get a real, with that plus who signs in the spring, you get a better handle on it and can do it more realistically. Why would I change? One person asked, well, why would you change from Duke to Michigan State when the only significant change affecting either of them since the end of the Final Four is that Kyle Singler decided he was going to play?
Right.
And I said, you want to know the truth? The truth is I had more time to think about it.
Yeah.
I had more time to think about it. Now, let me tell you this. Duke is going to have a better season from the beginning of the season, November 8th or whatever it is, until April 5th or whatever is the night before the championship game. Duke will have had a better season. I have no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
Duke is going to have a spectacular season.
Right.
But it comes down to will they win that last game or the next to last game or something like that. And that's, you know, and I look at this Duke team and I think they're certainly capable. But it's always hard to win two in a row.
Right.
Statistically, and I don't have this in front of me now, but I think the last time a team lost as many starters as Duke lost and came back to win the national championship was like 1970 or 71 when UCLA did it.
Right.
So it doesn't happen, even if you put great players in the place of the people that left. And in Duke's case, they're putting better players in place. It doesn't always mean you're going to come back and win it. So I thought about, can Michigan State win this? And I think that although they were very close to losing in more or less all of their NCAA tournament games,
right?
I think they're going to be a better team.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of that is based
on... When you see Draymond Green, he's lost a small person.
That should help. Obviously, returning Kalen Lucas to the equation will help.
Yeah.
To me, the big thing that has to happen, and I hope Darrell understands how important he is to making me look good. It's not about Tom. It's not about the Spartan stands. It's about me now.
We'll remind him of that.
He's got to have a year like he had in the tournament.
Yeah.
And you'll probably remember this, Jack. When I came up to East Lansing last year for the Gonzaga game,
yep.
I watched that game and I said, okay, here's what has to happen. Darrell Summers has to play like a star.
Right.
And if he plays like a star, Michigan State's going to have a great year. Well, what happened? He did not play like a star for the entire year, and they were just okay, and eventually they did well enough to win the Big Ten, a share of the Big Ten. But then he starts to play like a star.
Right.
And what happens? They come within a point or two of playing in the championship game. He is that important, and he certainly is talented enough to do on a regular basis what he did in the tournament. If you can go five games in a row, averaging 18 points, you can average 17 or so over the course of a 30-game season. When you're talking about the teams that they had to play, some of the really great defensive teams, Butler, Northern Iowa, those are terrific defensive teams. They're not ordinary. Butler nearly won a national championship because of its defense. So if you can do what he did, you can do it on a nightly basis in the regular season, and the only person who really has to be convinced of that is Darrell.
Well, if Darrell Summers plays the way we both know he can, and Chris Allen is not a problem for this team, then I'm going to want to change my pick.
He's not going to be a problem. He's either going to be part of it, or he's going to be gone. They are not going to put up with a problem.
Yeah.
So I suspect that he will be a valuable contributing player. And you know, the other thing that this year's team will have that last year's did not, there are a couple elements. I think they'll have a more dynamic front court. We all expect at some point that you'll finally see, you know, the real play from Delvon Rowe, that he'll be himself again.
Right.
And it seems every day we get closer to that. I think Adrian Payne, even as a 10-minute player, and he may be better than that, but even if he's a 10-minute player, can change some games with his shot-blocking ability. So I think those two elements that they didn't have last year can really make a difference, and maybe Knicks can play more.
Yeah, he's a much better player than he was a year ago, Mike.
So there, you know, there's three guys who can make a significant difference to what they had in the front court, and at that point, I think you're starting to talk about a team that's capable of winning it all.
And we know that Tom Izzo has a chance to win more games this year at Michigan State than he would have won in 82 chances with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, I think you're right. We had a headline in Sporting News today this morning. And don't blame this on us. Blame this on Byron Scott, because it was a direct quote. He's, you know, more or less, he said that it hurts to lose LeBron, but it's still only one guy. And I'm like, ooh, I'm not sure I would have hired the guy who makes that statement. You know, it's not one guy. It's like five guys. The Cavs are really going to struggle. And I thought all along that Tom was putting himself in a no-win situation. If he takes the job, the last guy who had that job got fired after 2 years of producing the best record in the league. And there was a good chance that the guy who took the job in the future was not going to have LeBron James. I talked to one coach on the trail in my travels, Jack, who said that Izzo was a fool to not take the job because he would have made his $35 million and he would have been fired in 2 years.
Jeez.
And then he could have come back to college and coached any team he wanted. So there are some guys out there for whom money is an object.
Well, it's interesting to note that Byron Scott is now reading releases written by Dan Gilbert. Mike, thanks so much for joining us. Hey, very quickly, how do people get Sporting News Today?
Go to sportingnewstoday.com and sign up. Subscription is about $3 a month, I think. There is a break if you sign up for the year. I think it's $36 and change. So. And you get it delivered to your email box every morning, a full package of basically a national daily sports section that comes directly to your email, very easy to navigate, and a great product. And for people who've got the iPad, Jack, it is spectacular on the iPad.
All the news you'll ever need. Sporting News Today, our guest Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News. Mike, we'll see you soon, maybe at the Michigan State-Duke game in Durham.
Oh, I'll be there for sure.
All right. We'll see you
Thanks,
there.
Thanks, Jack.
All right. We'll be right back with more. Our final segment coming up. Jack Ebling and Scott Eckersley, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS.